Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for the reminder of your faithfulness. God, though we have the tendency to turn away, get distracted, God, there are times where just frankly, we don't pursue you, and we're thankful for your unfailing love and for the fact that you are always faithful, regardless of how we choose to respond. And so we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for the time that we've had so far this week, and we just pray that you would continue to use it to strengthen us by your word, to edify us, and to live for your glory. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. Well, I'm Charles Hodges. I am family physician. I practice medicine down in Indianapolis, Indiana. I am also the executive director for Vision of Hope, where we do see people who, young women and, well, women, not all of them are young, who struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder. This lecture is aimed in the direction of military individuals. That's what was really big when I wrote it. But the things, you know, while there are some differences between military who struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder and civilians, there are great commonalities. Well, my experience personally with post-traumatic stress disorder came when I was probably about 7 and was given to me by my Aunt Charlotte. She called up my mother one day and announced that she had a date and they were going to the opening of a new movie in Indianapolis down at the Indiana Theater, which in the 1950s was a really big deal. It was a big theater, a great place to go, seated 2,000 people, the whole nine yards. And as I remember it, my mother dressed my brother and I, who was 5, as well, you know, as well as we could. My aunt showed up in an evening gown and her date in a tuxedo with a cab, and they picked us up and took us to the movie. The movie was Frankenstein. My brother and I slept with our backs to the wall for years after that. I once asked my mom, you know, what'd you have on your mind, you know, sending a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old to a horror movie? And she said, well, I didn't think it'd bother you. So anyway, post-traumatic stress disorder is a bigger problem than that. I still don't like horror movies, though. I won't watch them. And it's a problem that people deal with today. It affects servicemen and servicewomen who serve in combat, and they can't forget the things that they've seen and heard in combat, nor the routines that they were taught that they had to do in order to survive, to avoid being killed. It's part of the lives of men and women who've been abused physically and emotionally and sexually in child and in adulthood. I can remember talking to an individual at this conference about a couple of kids who were struggling with nightmares and problems that came because their parents took them to see the movie The Passion of the Christ. This was a 10-year-old. You know, the pictures were entirely too real. It was too much for those kids to process. PTSD can be born from real experiences, like my friend who was a helicopter engine mechanic on the Roosevelt. It was an aircraft carrier that was involved in the Cuban Missile Crisis. They were down in the Caribbean during that period of time, and he said that aircraft carrier deck's probably one of the most dangerous workplaces that are known to mankind. You don't have to do too much to get killed on one. And if you walk in the wrong direction or somebody parks something outside of a line, it can be a disaster. And he said one day there were 5 of them working on a helicopter, and one of them turned and started walking in the direction he thought he would go, and instead he walked into a spinning propeller on an airplane. And my friend was sprayed, and so were the other guys with this fellow. And he says to this day, if you take a water bottle and spray it in his face, he will see the picture all over again. There are women who've been raped and find it nearly impossible to relate to their husbands. Normally, I'd have one patient friend who can't do MRIs because she's claustrophobic because she was assaulted by a bigger man and held down. Not everyone who sees and experiences bad things will come away with PTSD, and I suppose if we're going to help those who have it, it would be useful for us to understand what was different about them that allowed them to avoid it. It would also be useful for us to understand people who have struggled with it and have escaped. So first thing we ought to do is get a good definition for it. And PTSD comes as a result of having experienced a terrible event like rape, murder, a combat death, injury, or a natural disaster. The really bad things in life that most of us are hoping to avoid. It can also come as a result of the threat of death or physical injury. I counseled with a young man who literally, what was it, Winston Churchill said, that nothing sharpens the senses more than to have been shot at and missed. He was on the flight line working on an aircraft engine when a sniper someplace out in the distance started shooting at them. Didn't hit him. All he was hearing were the pings of the bullets hitting the aircraft. It left him with struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder as a result. So just the threat of it can do it as well. Usually it comes in events where you can't do anything about it. It comes with fear and helplessness and horror. It's sort of like being the soldier in the second truck in the convoy, watching the guys in the first truck get blown up by the IED ahead of them, not be able to do anything to stop it or not be able to do very much to help them. It results in dreams and flashbacks and thoughts and feelings of the event. A good example, a good book to read, is Unbroken by Louis Zamperini. He described an evening when he and the pilot who survived the raft went out to dinner. This was after the war. And they went to a restaurant with their wives in Hollywood, sat down at the table, brought their order in, and the waitress brought a bowl of rice. And the pilot came unglued, you know, started yelling and demanding that the waitress take it away. And of course, the reason why was, you know, what little food they got in the concentration camp was rice. So it results in flashbacks. When these things happen, the soldier or the individual can respond in a way that they think that they're back there. I have a Marine friend who was in Vietnam, got a couple Purple Hearts for being shot and blown off armored personnel carriers at different times. And he said that when he got home from Vietnam, he lived down by Connersville and out in the country, so he would go hunting, and or at least he went once. And on a given day, he was out hunting for rabbits. You know, you walk down the cornfield and you're walking along the fence row and you're hoping that a rabbit will pop out and then you'll end their misery. And he said a fellow up in the distance came out of the woods, shot at a rabbit, and before my friend knew it, he was down on a knee and had a bead on the guy. He came to himself and stood up, opened the breech on the gun, took the shells out, and went home, put the shotgun underneath his bed, and never went hunting again. All he was doing was what he had been taught. You know, if he'd have thought about it in Vietnam, he would have been dead. And here, you know, it becomes a problem because it's a completely different setting. When individuals are in a situation like the event, they may react like they are in it. And they'll avoid situations that remind them of it. I can remember once when I was giving this lecture, a service man came up and said, "You have to understand, when we're in a room like this, we think differently than you." And his question is, "What do you think about when you go to church on Sunday morning?" I'm ceasing to be rhetorical at this point. So what are you thinking about when you walk into church? Meeting people, all right? You're thinking about meeting people. Some people are thinking about the music, the music they might do, and the worship time. Others might be hoping that the sermon is more interesting than this. He said, "What I'm thinking about when I walk in is I'm planning my exit strategy. You guys are thinking about everything that's going on. When I'm looking the building over and figuring out how I'm going to get out if this goes sideways." And that's what he's been doing ever since he left the service. The individuals may not remember events that occurred to them or parts of them. They also can remember them wrong. It's the impeachment of eyewitnesses. It's like eyewitnesses, we always think that eyewitnesses are good, except they don't always see what they think they did. And I can remember reading a story about a soldier who spent 30 years being ashamed and guilty for what he thought was his part in the death of his fellows, because he thought he was in the wrong spot on a hill, and if he'd have been in the right spot, everybody might have survived. And there was a reunion, you know, the guys got back together, the ones who survived, and he started telling his story, and the guy looks up and says, "You weren't there. You weren't in that spot." but he remembered it wrong. So, you know,